Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Give me the percentage that Cam Newton is the opening day starter against the Miami Dolphins on September 13th.
48.
Oh, just under 50. Damn you. Damn you. Do the other 52 go to Stidham?
Honest to God, all things being equal, if you put three guys and say run the same play three times in a row, can Newton look as good as he might look in a training camp controlled atmosphere? Can he look good? It's going to be really hard for him to look good in training camp, isn't it? I mean, he's not going to get miraculously more accurate, is he?
No.
I mean, you are what you are.
All right, that was Tommy Kern yesterday with Dale Keith and Andy Hart. It's hour two, Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for the Greg Hill Show. Maybe he's right. Maybe Kern will end up being right, that there's only a 48% chance that Cam Newton's a starting quarterback in week one. I think that is wildly low. I would double that and go 96% if you were asking me, and I think it's going to be set up for him. I think they brought him in here with the idea. They want to be the starter, that Bill Belichick has something to prove this year. And for whatever reason, we don't have an answer yet from the Patriots media cartel why they soured on Jared Stidham in the last couple of months. But let me go around the room. Curran says 48% for Cam Newton starting week one. Is that low, high? Where do you guys go? I think
that's
wildly low.
That's wildly low.
What do you got, Wiggs?
I would say starting week one, 100%.
Ooh.
Would you bring him in?
I have no idea. That's why I'm at 98% with the idea maybe he... we're assuming healthier for a second.
Right.
Maybe doesn't pick up the offense. Like a 2% chance where they go, you know what? Brian Hoyer was going to be our starter anyway. We're going to sit Stidham to start the year. I leave a 2% chance. I'm much closer to you than I was currently.
Joey Galloway, the quarterback?
Cam Newton can't beat out Jared Stidham, then you will not see Cam Newton in the NFL ever again.
Well, Cam Newton, there's also, if he doesn't win the
starting... That's the truest bunch of facts you have spoken on this show so far.
If he doesn't win the starting job, and Curran did bring this up, and this is an interesting point, like, if he gets beat out by Stidham, he'll probably just ask for his release, right? He's not going to sit here as a backup to Jared Stidham and say, I'll wait till Jared struggles or help him out. So if he doesn't start, he's not going to be here.
90-10, that's what I got. 90% chance Cam Newton starts, the 10% being the foot acts up, or Cam doesn't grasp the offense. So I'm just going to leave the tiniest little bit of provisional, we'll call it like injury and ineptitude. But otherwise, this is Cam Newton's job to win.
No
because
doubt.
You have Stidham under control for another year after. This will be his third year, right?
Yeah.
You have Stidham under control for this year and one more year following.
No, this will be his second year. So you have him for two more years.
You have him under control for 2 more years.
After this year.
You do everything you can with an irresistible value, a bargain MVP pick like Cam Newton. If he can come in and be what he was, even in 2018, who Norv Turner told Belichick, like, sign this kid. If he's healthy, he's going to be awesome. Look what I was able to get out of him first half of the year. If you get a reasonable facsimile, a replica of that, it's a steal. Of course he's going to start. This is his team win.
But Curran, like Mike Reese, also believes that the signing of Newton is not an indication that they're lacking confidence in Stidham, which is also unbelievable, don't you think?
Unbelievable is too... It's not strong enough a phrase. Like, it's hard to feign reality. It's hard to believe in reality if you think they didn't bring in a former MVP and they're fully confident in Jared Stidham. I'd like to know when that happened, and we'll get to it more later on. But like, when did they decide we need to bring in a real competition at quarterback? Because Brian Hoyer was not going to be... It'd be a competition. Wiggy and I talked about this with Dale. Mm-hmm. There'd be a competition there, but all things being equal, Stidham probably wins that competition. This one is set up for Cam Newton to win. Like, you can't look at this.
Well, Stidham can outplay Brian Hoyer. I don't know if...
What are the chances of that happening?
If Cam's healthy...
2%.
If Cam's healthy, I don't think that Stidham can outplay Cam Newton to win the starting job, right? So you bring in Cam Newton because you feel like Cam Newton, if healthy, is going to stop.
He's your guy. Yeah.
So if you really feel like Stidham's your guy, why would you then bring in a guy like Cam? You could always find another veteran to bring in and, you know, just, you know, maybe push the room a little bit. But now your guy in Jared Stidham, he's looking over his shoulder, but he's like, all right, that guy that I'm looking over my shoulder with, I'm not really too much concerned.
I beat
with
that
him.
Guy last year.
Or even another guy. But when you bring
like another veteran, okay,
yeah, like
you.
Another veteran, yeah. Right? You bring in a guy, but when you bring in Cam, you're bringing in a guy that if he's healthy, there's no way Stidham sees the field.
That's the man. That's the man this year. Period. That's the guy. Full stop. End of story. However, the whole idea though that maybe they'll be running like packages for Stidham that he's going to get reps in certain
that
in
could
certain
have been
respects.
Dumbest of the day from Colin Cowherd.
That's part of a 5-point Cowherd why Cam won't work in New England rant that he had yesterday.
I need to hear that at some point. Yeah. But we talked to the people on this show. Scott in Weymouth wants to talk about the signing of Cam Newton. Scott, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Here we go.
Hey, what's up? Good morning. Mutt, I'm used to you at night.
I know.
Mutt at night. Now it's Mutt in the morning. Where's Greg? Water skiing? Tell him to get his ass in there.
Somewhere in Maine. Yeah. Got quarantined up there. What's going on?
All right. Fair enough. All right. I hate this signing of Cam Newton on so many levels. As Mutt, I feel like I'm off beat here. The morning crew knows me. What's up? But in and out in 40 seconds.
40 seconds. There we go. Right. Yeah. 40 seconds. This everyone knows the rules.
This franchise is already on edge with Brady leaving. Already kind of turmoil is the wrong word, but I think you know where I'm going. Now you sign Cam Newton, who, by the way, no one's mentioned. He's 0-8 in his last 8 starts. Did you know that?
I mentioned it twice.
I heard
yesterday.
Glenn Ordway mention it 30,000 okay. times yesterday between 2 and 6.
Okay, well, I didn't. But
Lou,
there
Lou,
you go.
Lou, so he's 0-8. Lou, 0-8.
We
Lou,
just signed an 0-8 quarterback who's damaged goods. Now, am I the only one that has an inkling of foresight and sees that this is going to end? And I'll pick my words carefully. I don't want to get dumped. S as in Sam show. This is going to end in a S show about week 5 or 6. This is the biggest waste of time, and it just shows the greed and the arrogance of Belichick and Kraft. Oh, it's like when you're at the bar, right? Oh, guys, we cooked a pizza, and the guy left. You want it for a dollar? I guess. Yeah. It's still nothing. You mark my words,
but is the pizza
words,
good?
Mutt.
If it's good.
I will call
but
back
it
week 5
doesn't matter
week
when it's a dollar,
six.
Right?
He's
going
to be ran out of town due to either injury or lack of performance, and the crowd is going to be screaming, get Stidham in the game. What are they doing?
Well, Scott, I would say this. Like, if they had paid an extreme price for Cam Newton, I'd agree more with Scott's idea that this was a big waste of time.
They got him
for nothing, and this is now... This is the new story of Belichick, and add this to the Belichick files, the Belichick chapters. What he's done to bring in players that are like these high-level marquee players and bring them in and really have no real pressure to have them succeed is ridiculous. From Randy Moss to Albert Haynesworth to Chad Ochocinco, these guys who were like the biggest names in the sport, he brings them in and they have to sort of prove it to Bill. And some of them work out and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like Scott is saying there's a pressure. He's going to cost him nothing to
that
cut
it's an
in week
S
one.
Show that this is a disaster, that the Patriots are in crisis right now. They're not in crisis.
No.
There was some turmoil.
No cost associated with this.
Nothing. If Cam Newton comes in, doesn't grasp the playbook, doesn't seem to fit, doesn't jibe with his players, J-I-B-E, Wiggs. if it's just not a fit, or he's still banged up, you lost $1 million. There are undrafted free agents they guaranteed a quarter of that money to that they may or may not keep or that could possibly land on the taxi squad.
Yeah, but Stidham's confidence is wrecked right now.
No, it's not.
There is a risk here.
I agree with you. His confidence can't be
then if his confidence. Then if his confidence gets rattled, then he is not mentally strong enough to be in to not necessarily throw football in the National Football League, but to play for Belichick and the Patriots.
But you got to see what he does with this pressure, right? Does he handle the pressure and he says, you know what, I'm cool with it. Yeah, hey, let's go compete. Or like, you know, does he then fold up because who Cam is and, you know, what Cam has done? And he's like, now, you know, does he let the pressure get to him? And if he lets the pressure get to him, then, you know, not only can he not play for Belichick, but it's going to be difficult for him to play in the NFL.
But just the idea that it's going to end in a bleep show, I completely disagree. It's going to end either really quietly with Cam getting cut and going somewhere else or getting beat out for the position and asking for his release, or he'll play all year. Like, to me, there's the extreme of it's a bleep show, it's going to blow up in their face. That's not part of the equation at all. They've passed the quarterback question down year down the road, which annoys me. But this has very little risk for the Patriots. Like, I don't believe there's a bleep show possibility. Well, what
bleep show possibility?
What's the bleep show then? Because Scott didn't do a great job explaining.
Cam and Bill don't mesh, or Cam doesn't handle well to having shared reps with Stidham, and he's traded or cut, and Stidham's a mess, a basket case.
Well, if in that case, doesn't Stidham win the job? Why would Stidham be a mess in that case?
Well, because he already brought Cam Newton in to look over his shoulder. It's not a great start.
But if he won the job and outperformed Newton, then his confidence is not rattled.
If he wins the job and he's the week one starter, then his confidence is good.
Sky high.
He's outplayed Cam, and then you just cut Cam, right?
Cam asked for his release, since I'm not going to back this guy.
Yeah, the only issue that you would have that where it could kind of go left a little bit is Cam wins the job.
Mm-hmm.
Stidham's confidence is shot. Then week five, week six, Cam's not really performing the past 4 or 5 weeks. And then it's like, do we put Stidham in? And Cam's kind of feeling the pressure from the media because the Pats are not doing good. Let's say they go with Cam and then they start off and they go 1-5, right? And Cam's not playing great. And there's a lot of, and then there's a lot of that. So he has a lot of the birds chirping and things of that nature. Now, what do? You can't go to Stidham, right? And if you stick with Cam, who knows what emotionally he's dealing with, because it's not going the way he thought it was going
to
be.
Three words, Wiggs. Call to Lewerke. That's
now what you've done, now all you can do with your Bill is go, all right, the season's a wrap, and hopefully we can now be and we could be right in the draft next year. We could either be going to get Justin Fields or
we
Trevor
really
Lawrence.
Think Stidham is going to be that off put. He's going to be that offset and upset. And if he comes in this year, like let's say he beats Newton out, or Newton goes 1-5, or Newton gets hurt, Stidham comes in, plays 500 ball or even better. That's definitely his job going forward. Do you think he's going to be looking over his shoulder in 2021? Like, who's the Cam Newton they're going to bring in to challenge me this year?
Yeah.
You think so? You think he's going to be looking over his shoulder every year?
Because that's how Bill operates when you're a fourth-round draft pick, or you're even a first-round draft pick, is that every year I could go from being the guy to then all of a sudden, wait a second, I'm not getting any reps.
He did it to Tom Brady. He drafted Jimmy Garoppolo and said, hey, Tom, we got the next guy.
That was a succession plan for a 40-year-old man.
He's done it with everybody.
But he was 40.
Yeah, Bill doesn't have a problem with, like, Bill's not like, all right, Stidham, you went 5-5 in the last 10 games, and this job's yours next year. He doesn't operate that way. He's like, you know what? What have you done for me lately? And so Stidham is going to know that, and it's how he deals with that pressure.
We will get to all this here this morning on the Greg Hill Show. Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for the crew. Ken's got a trending. Then we'll go to Carolina, talk to one of their afternoon drive guys. And I didn't get a great answer yesterday. Maybe you guys did. On why did it end in Carolina? Like, if he's this good and he looks this great in these videos, why did Carolina move on? We'll find out after a trending with Ken Laird.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, Michael Lombardi looks pretty good. He predicted Cam Newton to the Patriots a couple of months ago. How about the latest from Lombardi? Well, first, JT the Brick, who's been on a heater as well lately.
Sure has been.
Tweets out, hearing word of Tampa Bay, out of Tampa Bay, that business could be booming, # Antonio Brown.
Oh.
And Lombardi subtweets it with hearing the same thing.
Man.
I can't imagine Bruce Arians takes another trip down Antonio Brown lane, but if Brady's there running the show, I guess Brady's the GM.
That would be
now.
He said a 0% chance. Actually, zero was the percentage he gave to it. He said there's absolutely no chance he would bring him in here. Seattle, sure.
I also said there was a 100% chance that he plays sports. So people it can easily change their mind.
If it's on one of these deals where they can just cut him whenever they want,
right?
And say, well, it's not even a 3-strike policy; it's a 1-strike policy. There's, again, not a lot
what
of
money
risk
is he
there.
Taking? What team has the second lowest amount of salary crap room in the NFL?
No idea.
Tampa.
No.
So they have
minimum deal, the Cam Newton type deal.
Direct response to Cam Newton coming to New England, right? Brady's getting nervous. Better up the ante.
Wow.
Give me AB.
That'd be kind of.
Ken, every
AB,
now and again.
Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Just when I think the fire's going to come out.
Wow.
You come by with like an oily rag or some kindling. It's nice. I appreciate that. You stoke it well, friend.
Well, Lombardi's stoking the hopes of Patriots fans on OMF yesterday, says they could beat the Chiefs after signing Cam.
Now it gives them a conversation to be, can they beat Kansas City? And the way they have to play, can they beat Kansas City? I think that's the ultimate. Can they beat the top teams in the league?
Can you think they can with him?
I think they can.
How about that, Wiggy?
Wow. depends on how good Cam's playing.
Yes, we Cam.
If Cam's playing
good. God, yes, we Cam.
And there's a T-shirt that won't
If Bill can get that defense
people understand
right,
I chum the waters for you, you're welcome.
I'll tell you, if he can get that defense right and Cam's playing well, talk about ball control with Cam Newton, the ability to run, pass, just eat up clock.
Oh, my God. You had him 6-10.
I did.
48 hours ago, now they're beating the Chiefs.
That's what happens.
Christ almighty.
Hey, listen. When
call him a honk.
When Black Superman flies in, all things change. Now he has to be healthy.
Da, 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 da.
Here comes Cam.
He has to be healthy, though.
We'll beat the Chiefs. Cam Newton.
Yes, I can.
This I'm not. All, yes, we can.
I'm going to be branded with that all day.
This is all 2021 per Wiggy because there will be no sports this year.
That's
he's
true.
Back on that. Less than 0% chance there will be sports.
Look at negative.
The Ivy Leagues are saying, hey, we might just play in the springtime college football.
Yeah, why not? I'd big-time college football in the spring. I'd postpone it, too.
But that would mess the draft up in next season.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Four baseball players are out. Ian Desmond of the Rockies, yep. Arizona pitcher Mike Leake, Nationals first baseman Ryan Zimmerman, and pitcher Joe Ross. And Minnesota telling two of their old coaches who will not be in the clubhouse this year due to health concerns. NBA, Brooklyn center DeAndre Jordan out after testing positive, and Spencer Dinwiddie also positive, has not been ruled
negative
out just yet.
Infinity
oh boy.
For sports.
Yes, we can.
Red Sox pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. It's the Greg Hill Show. Kyle Bailey, afternoon drive host in Charlotte on our sister station, joins us next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Thought you'd be different about it. Now I know you're not it. I'm the poppin' so let's get on with it.
All right, that was the music at the end of the Cam Newton content drop yesterday. 5 minutes of just, I was going to say Panthers porn, but now it's Patriots porn, I guess, technically. And Cam Newton was part of that.
Certified grade A.
I'm on a Cam train.
I have questions about Cam Newton still, left over from yesterday, and about his future and his past. And Kyle Bailey, who does Afternoon Drive in Carolina, FNZ. The Clubhouse with Kyle Bailey joins us here on the Harbor One Hotline to fill in some of these questions I have. Kyle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all?
We're doing good. So I get the impression there were people in Charlotte that were pro Cam and some who did not like the Cam experience. What group were you in, Kyle?
I think pro Cam, to be sure. I think the majority probably feel that way. But you're right. There is a vocal minority of folks who never quite came around to fully supporting Cam Newton in the near decade that he was here. So there is a lot to say about it, but I think by and large, when you consider where this organization was when he was drafted back in 2011, coming off a 2-14 season and then immediately winning Rookie of the Year. And of course, as you know, then going on to win the MVP, going to the Super Bowl, things like that. I mean, I don't think that any reasonable person could walk away from this era thinking that it was anything but successful.
So why did the breakup happen then, Kyle, in your mind, given he had a year left on his deal, was trying to get healthy? Why did Carolina move on?
I actually spoke to the front office about this a couple of months ago when the story was coming down, and they were still very much open to bringing him back. The story as it was told to me is that you'll recall an Instagram video from a couple of months ago. So I guess the latest or one of the early ones in a series of workout videos from Cam, where he said, "All I want is a little commitment," and that commitment to him and to his representatives, Bus Cook and Company, meant an extension. And when they had some conversations about that, it became clear that what Cam and his people wanted from the organization was not exactly what the organization was willing to offer. until they saw him on the field healthy for a 16-game season again. And, you know, then it became even more clear when they realized that Teddy Bridgewater was on the market for a bit less, or was, I should say, attainable for a bit less than what they thought would take to get him. And, you know, it all came together quickly. And before you knew it, Teddy Bridgewater was the new quarterback and Carolina was saying goodbye to Cam.
Now, if he can stay healthy, do you think he can get back to maybe the Cam that we saw back in 2015 when he's the MVP, or is the injury just too much for him to get back to that level?
Well, it's funny. I'm a born and bred Southerner, but I'm an honorary New Englander now. My wife is from up your way, and so I talked to my father-in-law and brother-in-law quite a bit about this, and I was actually telling them 2 nights ago, look, if this guy's healed and healthy by the time training camp rolls around, I think the Pats have a chance to be very good. I'm still a big believer in what a healthy Cam Newton can do. And that's been the only issue for the past two and a half years. He's not Tom Brady, right? He's not your Drew Brees, Tom Brady, precision pocket passer. But when you watch the tape of 2018, especially the first half of that season before he got hurt in Pittsburgh that night, I mean, he was completing over 70% of his passes, 19 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. I firmly believe that if Cam Newton is healthy this fall, and with a chip on his shoulder, something to prove, and now working with the greatest coach in NFL history, I think Pats fans should be very enthusiastic about what's to come.
Kyle, you said earlier that there seemed to be, I don't know, not a disconnect, but there were certain people and maybe even in the city that never kind of really embraced Cam, which is weird because he seems like such a, I don't know, kind of such a dynamic figure. He's larger than life. He's brash. He's a handsome guy. Is it because it's hard for, he doesn't connect well with people? Is it because there's that weird enduring image of him not trying to cover the football in Super Bowl 50? Like, why didn't everyone love this guy the same way that Tom Brady was just universally loved here and obviously loathed outside of Patriots Nation?
I just think that Cam is not what people are used to. I mean, I think you can probably understand that as well as anybody. I mean, Jake DeLome took this team to its first Super Bowl, and I use that carefully because that was a team that was also built on defense. Steve Smith, Mohsin Mohammed. I mean, you guys know that team very well. But
Jermaine Wiggins.
You know, having seen exactly Jermaine Wiggins. So, you know, he's just a departure from what, for whatever reason, we were conditioned to believe that franchise quarterbacks are supposed to be, supposed to look like, supposed to sound like. This guy, you know, had the audacity to grow into himself personally as he got older and, you know, found other interests and hobbies. He's into fashion, and for some reason that offends people's sensibilities. I don't really understand it. This is a guy who I can say with 100% confidence was an absolute asset to this community. You know, the work that he did for children, it's nothing for people uptown here in Charlotte to see him out on foot, you know, giving food to the homeless and, you know, doing so without, you know, media coverage and things like that. I think he'll go down as the most underappreciated athlete in this city's history. And, you know, because he is a departure from what we're used to. Some people didn't like that. The Super Bowl, the fumble that you referenced a minute ago, some people absolutely cling to that as a reason for disliking him. But, you know, all in all, he's still a special athlete who appears to be very motivated. And I think that, you know, what the Patriots did 2 days ago to get him for what they got him for was just a brilliant move. And I think there should be a lot of optimism around this.
We're talking to Kyle Bailey, WFNZ in Charlotte, afternoon drive there on Cam Newton. And you mentioned the salary there, Kyle. How surprised were you that he ends up taking this sort of minimum deal? Did you expect more interest in Cam Newton?
Yes and no. I think the confluence of world events and the saturation of the quarterback market in free agency and, of course, a pretty good quarterback class in this year's draft made for a game of musical chairs that was really, really crowded. And when we saw what Jameis signed for in New Orleans, I think it became a clear indicator that the market just might not be there. And so Cam did the next smartest thing, and that's bet on himself and signed with, you know, the best organization and the best coach in football right now, which I think is a smart move. Again, I think this guy's got a lot of good football left, you know, assuming that's what he wants to do. And by all indications, it appears that's exactly what he wants to do. So, the money is what it is. I saw Richard Sherman was being fairly, you know, critical of, you know, that and the fact that a former league MVP signed for what he signed for. But, you know, these are the conditions. When there's a global pandemic keeping you out of facilities and you can't, you know, do private workouts and, you know, things like that, it's just, you know, Cam, I think, came to that realization and realized he wanted to make the best of a bad situation. And turned out, I think he landed in a pretty good situation.
Now, the number one thing when, you know, any new free agent signs with the New England Patriots or traded here or whatever it may be, it's can they play for Bill Belichick, especially if this guy has a big personality, right? Can he come here and deal with, say, the harsh criticism that, you know, he's going to get from Bill after a game and some of those type of things? And you knowing Cam, is his personality going to allow him to basically go, okay, I might have to eat a little crow here and deal with some of this harsh criticism that comes my way from Bill Belichick and, you know, especially the harsh media that we have around here in Boston? Mentally, does he have that toughness to deal with it without blowing up and doing something that, you know, might be a bad look?
Yeah, I don't think that'll be an issue. I was actually listening to you guys yesterday when I was going on a morning run, and my buddy Joe Person was on with you guys, and it was a great show, by the way. And I was looked up yesterday, and Joe Person had written another piece about Cam Newton in the locker room and how his former teammates would characterize him. And I talked about this on my show yesterday, Jermaine. It's always been fascinating to me to listen to a faction of this fan base and, of course, portions of other fan bases characterize Cam Newton as being a poor leader or a diva or any of those things. And then you contrast that to what nearly every one of his former teammates will say about him. You know, Roman Harper and Mike Tolbert and so many others have said, you know, I had a preconceived notion of Cam Newton before I started playing with him. Or, you know, what's said about him is not close to the truth. This guy had every reason in the world not to work, right? Not to show up and work every single day, but it's what he does. And his teammates will tell you that, you know, he's a great leader. So, you know, you have competing narratives here, but the one that I think should matter is the one that comes from those who suited up next to him, and it is overwhelmingly positive. I think, again, just to reiterate, he will go down as the most underappreciated athlete in the city's history because some of those narratives that got spun, you know, took off. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm one of his PR guys either. You know, he's not a perfect quarterback, you know, but it really is more about some of the inherent flaws in his game and really nothing else, because you're getting a first-class human and a guy who is going to be well-liked in that locker room. And I heard you mention Mike Lombardi in the previous segment. You know, what Mike wrote a couple of months ago about the Bears and Trubisky and how if they signed Cam, that locker room would immediately gravitate to Cam because it'd be clear he was the guy. I mean, I think Cam is going to have that effect on nearly every locker room in the NFL.
So, yeah, you know what? The guy likes to smoke cigars. He drinks expensive Cabernet. Sometimes he shows up afterwards at the press conference dressed like a Batman villain. Like, okay, so, like, obviously his personality is kind of out there. But, like, this is something that I think makes him a unique figure as well. And we've seen unique figures come to New England and have to find a way to fit in before. But since it seems like you know the ins and outs of Cam's game so well, like, what's one flaw that may present itself in New England that's going to be tough for the Pats to work with? And, like, what's one thing he does well that maybe people don't talk about?
I think the one thing that will be, you know, potentially, so I hesitate to say issue, but it could be something that flares up is that, you know, Cam is always fully in control of that huddle, you know, but he has been criticized in the past for, you know, a lack of urgency, you know, when it comes to getting guys to the line of scrimmage, playoff, that sort of thing. You know, I don't think that will be an issue. I think that's Belichick, influence that will take hold with him. But I will say this too. I think it was Ted Johnson, video clip this morning, who was fairly critical of the move, and he cited something about, you know, having never seen Cam, you know, lead comebacks and some such comment. Well, it actually turns out Cam Newton has basically the exact same number of fourth quarter comebacks in his career as Aaron Rodgers does. You know, Cam, when the lights get bright, you know, and when it gets into those final 2 minutes, he's actually really good. And so if he gets that opportunity in New England, I think he's going to put that on display. So I was very much hoping personally that the Panthers would run it back one more year in the final year of his contract. But I will be watching nearly every New England game this fall because I think it's going to be a fun ride.
Kyle, real quick, the one clip that we talk about with Cam Newton in the media is when he chuckled when he was asked by a female reporter about routes. Is that been an issue with him and the media? What was the relationship like there in Carolina?
No. It's funny that whole thing blew up, and justifiably so. Cam was wrong for making that comment. It was a dumb thing to say. What most people don't realize is that reporter, who's actually a friend of mine, they immediately squashed it, had a conversation, had a better understanding of one another, and, you know, as things do in the media, That story continued to run until it eventually burned out, but people kept talking about it. And, you know, all the while, he and that reporter had had a private conversation and cleared things up and have been on very good terms ever since. So, you know, that was a misstep and a mistake that he made. He certainly paid for it in the court of public opinion, but, you know, it turned out to be really a issue here moving forward.
Kyle, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for listening yesterday morning, and enjoy the rest of the offseason.
Absolutely. If you could do this for me, can you please, as much as I now love New England, can you please stop taking our superstar athletes? Between Cam and Kemba, it's been a rough 12 months.
So is Charlotte's the new feeder city for the Duck Boat Parade Boston?
We're coming after McCaffrey. Yeah, that's the guy we want.
No. The ink's not even dry on that deal, boys. Let it go.
God, is he good.
That's the one we want.
Kyle, good stuff, man. Thanks.
Take care, guys.
Thank you, Kyle Bailey joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, WFNZ there in Charlotte. Clearly one of the pro Cam Newton guys there in Charlotte. And it sounds like a guy who wishes that he would have been still on that team and wishes he had stayed there in Carolina. And it sounds like there are a lot of fans who feel that same way there in that fan base.
Most underappreciated. Now, granted, the Charlotte sports history books aren't as deep as New York, Chicago,
I was trying to
or
think,
Boston.
Like, how deep? Yeah. How, what do you want to go here?
I think you can be in and out of the Charlotte Sports Museum in 10 minutes or less. But at the same time, for him to say that this guy will easily go down as the most underappreciated athlete in the city's history, it speaks volumes, and that's why I'm glad we sort of asked him, and he answered to the idea, like, what was the disconnect? Because the tools, the success, went to a Super Bowl, he's highly marketable, everything seems to be there, but why don't people embrace him?
I think, from what he made it sound like, it was probably what Brady wanted here, right? And he said that it was some type of stability, right? And stability in the sense
I had not heard that yet about the contract extension, right? It's the first thing was brought up that he wanted more money, he wanted a contract extension.
So that's probably what it was, and they're like, well, Cam, you know, you've been hurt for the past couple of years, and maybe there was, come prove it to us and we'll reevaluate. And Cam maybe wasn't willing to do that and was like, that's why I want to trade.
He's 31 versus Brady being 42 at the time, though. But, you know, but he's also taken far more punishment over those 10 years than Brady had, it seems. So tough call.
He is pro Cam Newton. We'll talk to somebody who is not a big fan. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, will join us at 8:30. He tweeted and wrote yesterday, this is not a good setup for Cam Newton, that the receivers aren't a good setup, the skill set's not good. We'll get Sam's take. And Sam has long been a Brady hater. Sam's been on this station a bunch of times saying Tom Brady's not that good. So now he'll tell us why Cam Newton's not a great fit for the Patriots. That's at 8:30. The news with Ken Laird coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's the Greg Hill Show
on Sports Radio WEEI. It's time for
good news for you this morning.
The news.
In 3, 2, 1.
With your host.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Cannonball!
Because I am good at 3 things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. Specializing in men's sexual health.
Worth it!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
News team! Assemble!
It takes a whole team to replace Danielle. She's had a well-earned vacation this week. And, of course, the news brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, now with a new office open in Dedham next to Legacy Place. Learn more at northeastmenshealth.com or at 617-793-5000. Ken Laird has been given the task of doing the news. I appreciate when Wiggy does the news, but apparently Ken is going to handle the news here.
I was told by the upstairs and downstairs Joe, I start. If I fail, Wiggy takes over.
Okay,
no, that's fair.
So we can call Stinnem or Cam Newton. I don't know.
Mine's kind of BET news, so it's a little bit more.
What happened to your president of the BSO? Black Sports Online.
Robert Littell.
He's out. He got caught up in cancel culture
Wait,
yesterday.
He got canceled?
Yeah, this is your guy, Rob Littell.
I didn't see that. What happened with him?
There were some text messages that came up privately with his employees where he was bringing up, joking about their sexual escapades, Oops. Maybe a little aggressive towards women, and I Oops. Saw he's out.
Danielle likes to call that Me 2.0.
Let me check that out.
Check out your guys.
I used to make BSO, so we didn't hear about
it. Yeah, I didn't make BSO.
funny how they didn't put that in the rundown.
Yeah, Rob Littell, I think he's in submission. You can look that up while Ken's doing the news here. Yeah. Ken, good morning.
Good morning. Well, if Greg and Danielle were here, they'd be very concerned about indoor dining closing in various parts of the country.
You think Greg would talk about that for 2 hours?
Oh, yeah. But Marty Walsh now is sounding the alarm about cookouts over the 4th of July as well. Could he be coming for your cookout, Mutt? Here's Marty yesterday. On Channel 7.
This is traditionally a weekend for gathering in large groups, for historic ceremonies and social events. This is not something that we can do this year here in Boston or in Massachusetts. If you're going to have a cookout, we're asking you to keep your gatherings small and keep them to your family units. We're asking people continue to wear face coverings and keep your social distancing of 6 feet away from each other. If you go somewhere and the crowd is larger than expected, my suggestion is that you turn around, make new plans. Tell folks that you're concerned about your senior relatives and your neighbors and your friends.
Family only, Mutt.
No shot.
311 is going to explode.
Yeah, there's no way.
No shot.
Curtis is already sitting by the phone and on the computer just waiting to monitor every single complaint.
People are
going to
be
long.
Like, yeah, it's 4th of July. We're having barbecues.
Are you guys doing that's kind of what everyone has to do now. You can't go to mass gatherings. You're not going to be at the beach. You're not going to line up early for fireworks.
But mass gatherings becomes no parades. Somebody you know has a barbecue. Right? And invites more people than they're supposed to be.
I will be at a large family barbecue on Saturday, July 4th. I'll be outside, and I will not be.
And I think most people will be.
I will not be wearing a mask outside.
Yeah, I think
if I go inside, there's some indoor activities.
Curious, your kids are comparably aged to mine. Like, when your kids play with other kids, do you fight to keep them apart? Do you put a mask on the older ones? What do you do?
Last night was, I think, baseball practice number 5.
Yep.
I don't even think about it. The first one,
they all wore masks.
Whoa.
By number 5, they wore masks to the field, and then they all took them off after that. And the coaches, some are wearing, some are not. So I with the kids, I'm less concerned because they're the ones who are not affected by this. The death rate is like 0%. They're not transmitting it. It is our older adults, Ken, we've got to protect, and we're doing a good job of that in this state, although that home out in Western Massachusetts was not great.
We got hit hard and we learned from our mistakes. That's what happened.
Yes, and you learn
from
it.
King Baker's done a good job.
Oh, yes. Oh, excellent job. So with the kids, I'm actually more lax than I probably should be. But
I think most people are.
At that age, at 4 and 7?
That's our whole story.
I think most people are 19 and under.
We're not having a huge cookout, but it's a couple houses, all of which have like 2 kids, and we're all sort of like commingling. Kids at this point, they're doing a good job of keeping their space. But it just seems so crazy to see adults and kids all maintaining a distance. Like, it's not easy to eat a rib or macaroni salad on the 4th of July, enjoy a slushy or a slice of pizza with a mask on.
But do you really do that? It's not happening.
You're taking your mask off to eat.
Some people still...
If you go to a barbecue with friends, are you really wearing a mask? Like, if it's people you know or even family?
No, but the weird thing is, like, I've seen people that are nurses come by to people's homes. They've brought their own chairs. They wouldn't use their bathroom indoors.
Oh, you hang out with
them. I did that for a while.
No, it's not just me. It's not just me. Like, this, I mean, I'm fine with it. Like, my kids are good at maintaining a distance from people. And, like, I can still enjoy a treehouse with, like, a buddy who likes good beer 6 feet away. I don't need to be in his face to enjoy a beer.
We have cookouts. It's just regular cookouts. But then you hang with different people there. You know, they like to, you know, recycle their compost and that kind of thing.
Speaking of bathrooms.
Yeah.
Now, we head to Southie, home of Chris Curtis. Big problem. I told people this was going to be the issue. Biggest issue with going to the beach, where do you go to the bathroom? And in Southie, people are using lawns, front lawns of houses.
Really? What?
Here is an unnamed Southie resident outraged.
Oh, yeah. Right on the side here of the house, right on the back of my house, right in the curb. On the sidewalks, in front of the house. They're coming over here, and they're peeing anywhere they can find. It's like St. Patrick's Day every day here.
The beaches there are packed. M Street Beach is a total zoo.
But these are the ones that should be open, though, Ken. The indoor stuff, I'm sorry, that's going to go first. Outside, it's not getting transmitted.
But the bathroom.
So what's the alternative? Shut everything and have people have house parties at home? Because in California, that's what they did.
Why can't
they have house parties, and now they're shutting transmission?
You should be able to put your mask on when you go to the bathroom.
Why is the logic, you know?
Makes no sense.
Why don't you pee in the ocean? That's when I was a kid. When you go to the beach, you got to go to the bathroom. You went to the ocean and pee in the ocean.
It's cold.
Yeah, you could do that.
Why would you stop now? For God's sakes, if a guy, when you see a dad, I've always maintained
in that little space around, it's warm.
If you see a dad standing in the ocean up to his waist, you leave him alone and don't go anywhere near that radius for a minute. You know what he's doing. It's a rite of passage. Come
on,
this
is why Wiggy didn't eat fish growing up, because he didn't trust the water.
I know it goes in the water. You are exactly right, Ken, on that one.
If the choice is peeing on somebody's house or like trying to sneak behind some sort of...
Who pees on a house? Don't you just like go by a tree?
You just heard it. You just heard people in Southie are getting their lawns.
Yeah, but even in Southie, like go to a tree.
Fertilized. The wrong way.
You know what we used to do? We used to either go in like near a tree or go in an alleyway.
Yeah, right? keep a Gatorade bottle. Come on.
Marty weighed in on this issue as well.
Oh, somebody's front yard is not a bathroom. We've had some initial conversations about porta potties, but nothing's been finalized there. But we're asking people, you shouldn't be, if you get caught urinating in somebody's yard, you get arrested for that. Have respect for the people around you.
Have some respect.
Why not just open the bathrooms? And then if you go in there, just wear your mask.
It's gonna turn into a problem. So my brother's in town, and he just came from Brooklyn, and he said all the bars are open, and they're all doing takeout business, so the police have stopped policing people just being drunk. And it's like...
You can't say that word.
Sorry.
It's like the dumpy with a P word.
Oh, well, that was my first dump. I'm proud of that.
Is that it?
It's a city full of number one.
So your first dump during a bathroom segment. There you go.
So there you go. So you can go to the beach, you just can't go to the
circle
bathroom.
Mutt gets the circle.
Yeah, I feel bad for those people, but open the bathrooms up or put some porta-potties in. Mayor
Walsh,
supposed
to be nice
put
Saturday
some porta-potties in.
Supposed to be nice on Saturday, July 4th.
Supposed to be pretty nice Saturday.
Yes, it is. It's going to be 90 on Friday, I believe.
Wow. And unfortunately, Wiggy has been forecasting doom across the country with violence.
He goes back and forth. Next week he'll be back.
The violence is there.
It's starting, and a lot of... We have three Karens in the news this morning, so let's hit the official open.
Karen, I was dependent on that!
And now,
Karen!
The Karen Report.
Why did you do that?
Karen!
Why?
All right, gas station Karen to start. This is Saturday. Woman wanted to buy beer, told she had to wear a mask. Thought to have occurred in Colorado. Clerk tells her she can buy one. She spits on the counter. So here's a little bit of the audio from this exchange.
How do you say when you get a mask on?
I don't have a mask. I don't have a mask.
Oh, that's so annoying.
You're not going to sell me this? It's going to take you to... I'm spreading more dirt standing here, for God's sakes. I'm not paying for it. I'm not paying for it. We have a right in America not to wear a mask. If you not watch the news, we don't have to do this.
Okay,
well,
it says on the
there. Find it. I'm not
going to
tell you. I think it went over there.
You have to pick it up. You spit it on the counter. Don't do that.
I want to keep watching.
She right there is the problem. Right there sums it up right there. The whole thing. She thinks she has a right not to wear a mask in a store. She doesn't. They have a right not to serve you or sell you anything. You don't have a mask. Mm-hmm. No shoes, no shirt, mm-hmm. no mask, no service. And she's gone viral now. Congratulations.
Yeah, and I'm one of the, you know me, I'm a big anti-mask outside.
Oh, you hate the mask.
But I respect the rules. If, you know, most of these places, at least around here, they're saying that you got to wear a mask to go in there. I mean, I get, can't you just suck it up and wear the mask?
American exceptionalism at its finest, Jermaine.
And that's why I ask, like, that's why I think there'll be sports, right? I mean, not sports.
Oh, now there will
be. Not be sports, but if there are sports, that's why I think there'll be fans. Because why can't you just have everybody wearing masks at the games if they go?
You could do that. You could say you can only go into the game if you're wearing a mask.
Right, and so then what would be...
But then it's still... They're worried about the optics of it when they go... So Nesson's doing a Red Sox game at Fenway.
Yeah.
And everyone's supposed to be wearing a mask, right?
Okay.
The second inning, they go to a TV shot, and guess what? People aren't wearing masks. Well, and then immediately, the 311 reports, they start calling, hey, Nesson, hey, Mayor Walsh, but they're not wearing masks at Fenway Park.
Won't they get thrown out for not wearing the mask if that's part
of
the
rules? So now you're going to have security go around and throw people out of games. See, what you're talking yourself into not having fans.
Because so
it's going to be. I just walked
through
it.
How can you have no fans?
Do you want to do that? If you're, if you're the Red Sox or you're the Patriots, you want to walk around and say, you're not wearing a mask out. Because first they go, oh, sorry, put the mask back on. And the TV, the optics man, your favorite, one of your favorites.
That's OMS.
Pandering
guy.
Man, optics Pandering man, same thing. He'll be having a field day with people at sporting events not wearing masks.
So how are they able to get away with it during the protest? No one really tripped about the protest and the coronavirus.
Because they're some people were tripping about it, saying that you're going to have a huge outbreak because of this.
Right? What'd you say? Massachusetts
did it in Massachusetts, but also your right. It's your constitutional right to protest, not your right to go to a game.
No, but if they say mask at the game, you don't think people would then abide by that?
No, I think just like you only wear masks exactly where you have to, right?
If I was going to a Red Sox
game. So if you're outside at Fenway Park sitting there for 3.5 hours, you're going to keep your mask on the entire time?
Well, if that's...
The answer is no.
No, if that's
You're going to lie
if
you say yes. The answer
is no.
That's
part of the rules.
You will not...
I might pull it down when I get my beer or my popcorn.
Yeah, and then you're going to leave it down for an inning or two. Or three and say, boy, this is nice outside, nice August night. And then Jerry Remy's going to say, oh, Jermaine Wiggins not wearing a mask.
That's right. Get out. Get him out. Get that son of a bitch out of here. He's not wearing a mask.
So they don't want the fights at the games.
Yes, and the how about the Karens at the games?
Oh,
sports
boy.
Karen.
Oh, you want to talk about violence.
Put your mask on in section 13.
Over a mask, you're going to hear, World Star.
Two more Karens and we'll wrap up the news. This is a Dallas maskless Karen at a grocery store. She starts throwing groceries.
Call the police.
My question always is, and this is more about me than anyone, are these women married? Do they have boyfriends?
They're very married.
You hear these voices.
Curtis is married,
How could you spend time with these people?
Ken, the dagger from downtown.
It's amazing that I can get on a call with six people and we can all see each other and talk to each other, but you can't come up with a vaccine?
They can come up with one. There's over 200 in development, guys.
Before we get a vaccine? I mean, we're running out of time here. Before you know it, it's going to be the end of the world. But people are throwing their groceries. You want to know people are just going to walk up to people and start shooting them because they ain't got masks on.
What are you worried about? The race
That's gonna
war
happen.
Or the grocery
That's
war?
Happen.
Well, the Karen war. The Karens and the Kyles versus everyone else.
I'm worried that we're already headed for a race war. But I'm worried. If we don't get a vaccine, we're gonna kill each other because forget about it. I want to wear a mask now. I'm throwing my groceries. I mean, we can have a 6-person conversation on a cell phone, seeing people in all parts of the country, but we can't get a quick vaccine for a shot.
Yeah, get Apple on the vaccine. Let's go. They can do FaceTime.
They come out with a phone every 30 days.
Last Karen is a male Karen from North Carolina at a flea market. He gets wrestled to the ground after he wouldn't leave when they said he had to wear a mask. Here's that audio.
Stop, you're going to the ground. You understand me? Put your hand behind your back. Put your hand behind your back.
Stevie, hurry up. Stevie, stop.
Stop.
I know.
Stop.
Stop.
I've been minding my business.
You were asking me.
Nobody asked me to leave. You start following me. I'm asking you. Where you took a head. Put your hands behind your back now.
I saw this one.
Police department says the cop did not use excessive force.
I saw that one.
Great.
Just get a vaccine, man. If you do, we won't have to worry about this stuff. No, we can just then deal with the race war. We don't have to worry about
Stop
this.
Stop saying that can be a race war. Stop
We're gonna
promoting
have
a race war.
Maskless versus the mask.
That war is happening right now.
Right. The mask war is underway.
Oh, clearly, you guys are not on the same social media I'm on because I see a lot of like, "You, what are you doing, you N-word? Did I just hear that? Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. Just get a vaccine, and then we can get back
to... Is that going to fix everything?
I think that fixes a lot.
That's it. And we're not going to worry about the side effects. We're just going to get over on the vaccine.
Yeah, I think that, everybody says, hey, how can we end this race, kind of divide that we have? Just get a vaccine.
And then we'll have it.
Maybe next year.
There you have President Wiggins.
Maybe
everyone,
next year. What,
next year, 2021?
Then they're not going to get the vaccine because they're scared of the vaccine.
Thank you, Novak Djokovic.
Oh, God.
Ken's News brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, now open in Dedham next to Legacy Place. Learn more at northeastmenshealth.com or at 617-793-5000. We have Cam Newton. He is front and center, and the Patriots media has given us nothing about how this happened. We'll get to that hour three of the Greg Hill Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.